As I smugly sat down in my seat at the Chan Center, I reflected on what I was observing around me. The students who were filing into rows had, by now, gotten into a sort of routine. You know, another month, another mind-tickling lunch hour speech by an academic expert. It sure was easy to get used to this. The two speakers that preceded Dr. Suzuki, that being Dr. Orr and Dr. Lewis, both left a lasting impact on the UBC community. Explaining their views of current global challenges and echoing the need for interdisciplinary cooperation, both speakers stimulated discussion within class and outside of it. Now, despite the formalities that these sorts of speeches consist of, David Suzuki needed little introduction. He's known in the academic community as a well-respected geneticist. However, to the most of Canada, he's known very differently. Well, it was that guy from the CBC's The Nature of Things, you know? Yeah, that one. In case there was anyone in the audience who was a little unsure where Dr. Suzuki's interest lay, he had this to say.
The most powerful force shaping our lives today is not politics, it's not economics, it's not sports or celebrity, it's science.
But before moving on to his scientific arguments, Dr. Suzuki was not afraid to voice his dissatisfaction with the way the university is currently run.
I'm ashamed of a university that seems to think international students are just an opportunity to make money. They contribute to what is a university education, it seems to me.
With the record set straight, Dr. Suzuki presented his grievances of science in the past and in the present. Despite the fact that he eventually fell in love with genetics, Dr. Suzuki's first introduction to the science was anything but pleasant. Born into a Japanese-Canadian family in 1936, Dr. Suzuki well remembers having to move to a camp in the interior during World War II, and eventually having to move out of British Columbia. The political belief at the time was rooted in scientific racism known as eugenics. The color of his skin and the shape of his eyes categorized the young David Suzuki as a Japanese enemy. The speaker went on to give further examples of scientists intoxicated by racism and the arrogance to think that they held the levers of life. He took out a quote from Edward East, a leading geneticist in the early 20th century. It read the following.
The Negro is inferior to the white. This is not hypothesis or supposition. It is a crude statement of actual fact. So there you have one of the leading geneticists of the time, and he uses a word like inferior. Where in science does a word like inferior have any meaning? It's a value judgment. It's got nothing to do with science. So here was a leading scientist who confused his own bigotry with scientifically validated fact.
Dr. Suzuki's next grievance lay in the scientific approach of reductionism. Modern science is taking the approach of breaking organisms into smaller and smaller systems in hopes of gaining better understanding of the whole. The approach has resulted in incredible scientific progress, but it has also caused one of science's greatest downfalls.
But in focusing on a part of nature, we lose sight of the context within which that part exists.
Dr. Suzuki further echoed Dr. Sen's and Ng's reasons for starting an interdisciplinary course. By taking a subject-specific look, one can only gain a limited insight into the problems of the modern world. Next, Dr. Suzuki applied this argument to genetics, where DNA is getting replicated and inserted left, right, and center in hopes of improving Mother Nature's shortcomings. The concept is relatively simple. A scientist isolates a gene with a desired characteristic, and then she inserts it into a different organism. Now, for those of us in the Faculty of Arts, Dr. Suzuki offered an example we could understand much better.
As I said, it's like taking Bono out of U2 and sticking him in the Vancouver Symphony and saying, make music. You'll get noise coming out of there.
Lastly, Dr. Suzuki's criticisms of the current biotechnological business held overwhelming power. These words were coming from a man who's not afraid to show his love for science on national television. And yet, one could hear an embarrassment and anger at the direction of the field of biotechnology.
Money is driving the application of this technology and nothing else. You know.
Similarly, Dr. Suzuki was disheartened by the arrogance that many scientists display. In hopes of cashing in on their knowledge, they hurried to implement their latest findings. And therein lies the problem.
Don't we understand the very essence of science especially in revolutionary areas, is most of our current ideas are wrong. That's not a denigration of science. It's the very means by which science progresses.
When the speech finished and I read over my notes, I couldn't believe the pattern that emerged. I mean, here was a man so fascinated with science as to spend the prime years of his life dissecting fruit flies. And yet, Dr. Suzuki was disenchanted. He was furious with the racism that overtook the field of genetics in the early 20th century, and he was frustrated by our lack of understanding of the interconnectedness of human nature. However, his greatest anger lay in the near future of biotechnology. Money-hungry scientists playing with the levers of life sounds like a pretty bad movie to me. But this is no horror film. This is real life. For News 101, I'm Peter Otis.